You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What is up, everybody? Potentially not us after some travel and different time zones. I'm Colleen Wolf with Erica Tamposi, and this is our second episode of Split Ends. How you feeling, Ricky?
We made it, Colleen. Didn't think it was going to happen. No, of course I did. We crush it. I'm drinking pre-workout right now.
You got a big day ahead?
Yeah, just trying to sustain, you know, like normal human function. And I lit a vanilla and peppermint harmony candle. So as you can tell, I am completely in the podcasting mood.
I'm so glad to hear that. So let's do it. We have a big show coming up for you. We have some stories from London. Erica was over there for the big game with the Around the NFL podcast. I was in Seattle, so I have some stories from there. Heading over to Philly, it's going to be a huge week for Thursday Night Football. I'm so excited about that. Plus a wild Monday in football, too, and football scandals. We got a lot. Plus a very special guest is coming by, Erica.
Another one. Week two. A second one. This is crazy.
Yes. Do you want to say who it is or should we wait?
Let's just say it. I'm so excited, you guys. We have comedian Megan Gailey, who's a super Colts fan, joining on to talk about their fantastic crumble on Monday Night Football.
Oh, my goodness. It was a spectacular one. So with that, let's get into all of the fun things that happened, starting with the fact, Ricky, that I promoed Split Ends during the TNF pregame show just for you. I told everyone to give us a 5-star review, which you guys should do, by the way, if you're listening right now. I also told Irv that if he calls me again during the middle of taping, that he might just catch himself a guest. So tell me about London.
Oh my God. So London was incredible. So much happened, Colleen, and we were there for such a short amount of time, even though it was like 5 nights. It felt like with the travel, I mean, the text messages I was sending to you on the 11-hour flight yesterday, we obviously can't read on the air. They were that explicit, but I was ready to open a window and jump out. It was absolutely insane. But we got there. We did some stuff at Sky Sports all day. We did 2 back-to-back live shows, which was awesome. We got to go to the game. And Colleen, ATN's presence over there is actually like insane. Like, it's gotten bigger and bigger, and we get stopped in pubs, we get stopped on the street, asked for pictures, like at the, not even at the games, like just walking around London. And I was walking.
So you're the Beatles, essentially?
Exactly like the Beatles. Like, it couldn't be more like the Beatles. Mm-hmm. But so I was walking to get a coffee, and I kid you not, someone from across the street yelled, "Splitties!" And I was like, what? This is the coolest thing in my life. And at the live show, a lot of people were yelling, like, "Splitties for life." And so many people after were coming up to me being like, you know, I like really loved your show with Colleen. Like, it's so great. Like, definitely subscribed. You know, we're getting a ton of tweets. So that was like super cool. Obviously, selfishly, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Speaking of Split Ends fans, Colleen, another fan tweeted at us when you were talking about Aaron and playing the saxophone. Yeah. They were like, oh, if Aaron can play all these instruments, like, you know, we need more cowbell. So, you know, our theme might be a little bit different this week, and you might notice a sound, you know, that Aaron tossed in there. Just look out for that throughout this episode. I'm stoked.
It'll be subtle.
But yeah, at the game, Jets Falcons, what a classic.
Well, I was doing the studio coverage for it and FaceTimed you at about 3 a.m. California time. It was great.
Yeah, you FaceTimed me. I think you were in the hair and makeup chair, and I was on the sidelines, and Youngway Koo was like throwing his helmet because he had like, there was a kick return that was like botched and or like getting ready for it, and they didn't have a kicking net set up. It was this whole thing. But you FaceTimed me and you're like in this, and I'm like sideline of the game, and it's 2 p.m. or like noon in London. I don't even know what, I have no idea what time it is at any point in the day.
I guess it was about 12.
Yeah, you're FaceTiming me and you're just like, hey, in the makeup chair, but we're both so confused.
I just think it's really impressive that we were somehow on the same sleep schedule, except you were multiple time zones away from me. We were live at 4 a.m. in the studio. It was a little trippy to be getting up at basically 11:45 at night. I left my house at 1 a.m. I mean, these London games, I feel like they're probably better when you're in London, but I got to back up 1 second because yesterday in those texts that you were sending to me from the flight, you revealed a piece of information about yourself that I just cannot go any further without revealing to the entire Splitty Nation.
Okay, Splitties, brace yourselves.
This is such a weird thing, and I do think you might be a serial killer. Erica will not listen to the audio on movies on planes. Will you listen to any audio? You just read subtitles?
You know, you set it up a little weird. I am very strange, and I will admit this. But what happens is I usually have my AirPods in, and I'm listening to my Spotify playlist that I get on deck for the flight, right? And I'm doing a lot of things. And for me to like plug in physical headphones into the seat in front of me and listen to movies, like, and watch a movie, it just doesn't sit well with me because I just like to listen to my chill hits and, you know, really get in the zone. So, yes, I will watch movies if they have subtitles. I have started movies, and if they don't have subtitles, I can't watch it because I'm not going to listen to the sound of the movies.
Why? This was an 11-hour flight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you just listen to your chill hits the whole time? That's so weird. That's so, so weird.
It,
okay.
It is. Sorry. It is weird.
Anyway, let us know
Splitties,
if you think.
Let us know what you think. Do you listen to movies with sound?
That's very weird. That's not our split of the week. Maybe it should be, though. So tell me about the West tribute, though, that you saw at the stadium.
Yes, dude. It was unbelievable. So we're sitting there and someone came up to us and we had no idea this was going to happen. They were like on the second quarter, the third break, we're going to do like a video up on the big Jumbotron, you know, tribute to West, photos and voiceovers. To see a sold out stadium standing and clapping for West, it had me and Greg and Dan in tears, like on the sideline. Like, it was so moving. It was so incredible. And Greg especially kept saying, like, I can just picture West saying, like, I'm just a kid from Cincinnati, and like a sold out game that he loves in London with, when our fans have like grown so much over there and have done so much for us, and our like their success specifically was just like so moving. It was, we were all just like a total mess of, we're on the sidelines and we're like, we're crying in front of, you know, 65,000 people. And we're like, I just can't.
What a moment. I'm so sad that I wasn't there for that. That sounds just, I can't imagine how powerful that was to be there in London, because we know that the listeners of ATN from over there are so awesome, so sweet, so genuine. That's really cool that that happened. I know that you had so many ridiculous stories and moments from while you were over there. Tell me the story about you and Dan Hanzus.
Okay, so Dan and I, like, and Greg and Henry kept saying this too, that like Dan and I had like a romantic comedy afternoon out. Like, it was Friday. There was a Jets meetup with Jets fans, and Dan was like, let's go. So we, like, a lot of fans kept coming up to Dan because it's a Jets bar, and me, and like, we're taking photos and stuff. So then Dan's like, you know, like, let's get out of here. So we get out. And we're walking and we're trying to hail cabs, and we're just like, literally, like, at one point I was like doubled over on the side of the street laughing, and me and him are like, we're skipping through the London streets. Like, so then we walk by this thing called the Shard, and it's like this massive building that apparently, like, it's like really tough to get into. But because it was early in the afternoon, Dan and I like get into the place, we go through security, and we go up the elevator to like the 40th floor, and it's overlooking all of London and like the Thames River and everything right there. And so as we're walking in, like, the maitre d' is like so proper and in a suit. It was like a fancy cocktail bar, and Dan's like, oh, it's our 1 year anniversary. And the guy's like, oh, congrats, like, that's so great. And we sit down and we like got some appetizers, and then Dan was like, they didn't give us a single thing for free, and we said it was our anniversary, like, and so we left. Like, it was like a total, we got lost, and then like we just had the best night together, and it was like we were on cloud nine coming back. And Greg and Henry, when we went to dinner later, was like, did you guys literally like film a romantic comedy movie this like today? And we're like, we literally did. If there was a soundtrack and a camera crew following us around, it was so much fun.
There is nothing better than being on the road with the people that we work with, because everyone is so much fun. I was in Seattle Seattle for the Seahawks-Rams game, and it was a blast. We went to this really cool restaurant in Seattle called Wilmot's Ghost. Me, Joe Thomas, Steve Smith Sr. I met Steve's uncle, which was really enlightening because he told so many stories about when Steve was younger and the two of them growing up, and I just never in my head thought to picture Steve Smith Sr. as a little kid, but
as
now doing it, I cannot, as a junior, I can't imagine what a handful he was. He must have been so, so funny as a kid. And his uncle was telling me this one story that I loved. He said that he at one point went and stayed over Steve's house when they were growing up, and he was in high school, his uncle, and Steve was about 6 years old. And he said that even then, as a six-year-old, that Steve could strong-arm him out of the bed that they were supposed to share. And his uncle was like, okay, I'm a high school student. I'm in high school. Like, I should be able to, no problem, get this one. This is a win for me. And he said even Steve, as a six-year-old, was not having it, was so relentless, put up a better fight than he. And his uncle was like, you know what, fine. You take the bed. I don't even want the bed. I don't even want to talk about this anymore. So it was really fun just to get that picture painted of Steve and meet his uncle, who was so funny. And then the other thing that really stood out for me from last Thursday night, Russell Wilson getting hurt, the fact that him and I are now in the mallet finger club because he has the same exact thing. And I'm basically a football player now at this point because I got mine by catching the pass from Kurt Warner. And now that Russ and I have this whole thing in common, I think it's going to take my broadcasting to the next level.
Are you guys going to create like a secret handshake where you just like shake, you know, fingers?
Probably, you know, like a pinky square, square or a pinky swear.
Yeah, I think a pinky square is cooler because you both have like contorted fingers. You can make a square with your fingers.
I think so. That's pretty good. I was just going to say that Matthew Stafford, he looks like he's 10 years younger playing for the Rams. When he was talking to us post game, I just couldn't get over how many years it looked like were put back onto his life as soon as he put the Rams jersey on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We have another Thursday night football coming up in Philly. But Erica, first, you know what time it is? And now for our next segment.
We care about.
Yes.
That's it. That's the one. It is time. We've been waiting all week for it. So we're going to start. Last week, we had the Urban Meyer drama, which we thought was scandalous. We didn't talk a ton about it. But this John Gruden story really is taking things to a nuclear level.
Yeah.
So just to get you up to speed, the league's investigation right now of the Washington football team's work environment is underway, and they uncovered a ton of emails. Gruden had exchanged these messages with the then team president of the Washington football team, Bruce Allen. So first last week was the Wall Street Journal report, and that had the email with the racial trope about NFLPA director Marcus Smith. And he was asked about that Sunday because he was coaching in that game that the Raiders lost to the Bears. But this is what he had to say about it post game.
I'm not like that at all, but I apologize. I don't want to keep addressing it.
Oh. He doesn't want to keep addressing it. This was a very short clip from a longer kind of explanation of what he had to say. And what got me was the fact that he said he doesn't want to keep addressing it because the New York Times dropped an absolute bomb on Monday with emails from Gruden that hit just about everybody. He completely emptied the clip. I mean, this was homophobic, misogynistic comments. He got Goodell, player protests, female refs. He
concussions.
Hit so many different people. Yes, and so many different topics. So Tom Pelissero then broke the news that John Gruden was resigning during Monday Night Football. The fact that he was allowed to coach, though, in that game, I thought was really surprising, Ricky.
It was all sort of a crazy unfolding of events. It's like these emails came out, which, you know, are horrible from 10 years ago. Then Friday comes, when that broke. Then he shows up and coaches on Sunday after the presser, like you just said. He's like, I don't need to keep talking about it. I apologized. I'm sorry. Well, you know, there's always more underlying the surface. So when all these, you know, exposés sort of dropped and this was leaked, and this was originally, you know, set up to go into depth, you know, in the Dan Snyder era and what happened in Washington football team. There's also, like, you can read between the lines of what stuff is getting leaked and what isn't. So I do think that, I mean, if it was up to me, I would love to see that full investigation. I find that kind of fascinating. But also, I think it is kind of important to note that this happened on National Coming Out Day, which was Monday, October 11th. And so not only is the first out player on the Raiders, it is happening on National Coming Out Day that these are leaked. And not only are there the racists and, you know, all the other, like you said, every other group possible named under this, it's just, personally speaking, as someone that is gay, it's like we're constantly fighting these notions that, like, maybe people are getting better or maybe people are really rooting for us, you know, inside these closed door rooms. And this stuff comes out and it is constantly like, okay, like, we know a lot of people feel this way. It just sucks to see it when it's coming from someone that's a position in power.
Yeah, there's so many things too to unpack about the entire situation. I was reading the New York Times article and I had to reread things over and over again just to be like, did I actually read that right? It was such a bombshell of a report. And then you consider the fact that Derek Carr is neighbors with John Gruden. They live on the same street, basically. And John Gruden's son is on the strength and conditioning staff. I just feel bad for the players that are there. Now, Rick Bisaccia, he's the new interim head coach. He's really well-liked by everyone on the team. I know that. But I just, the fact that this happened during Monday Night Football was really kind of just wild, because of the fact that John Gruden used to work for Monday Night Football, and that's when he sent these emails to Bruce Allen.
It's just, you know, these emails aren't sent in a vacuum. You know, I mean, as much as you'd like to think that, you know, he's just firing off all these different types of emails, like, I'm interested to hopefully one day see the correspondence. You don't say that, you know, like, you don't say that if it's not being received. Or there's a lot going into this, and we'll definitely keep you guys updated as it, you know, unfolds.
Plenty more to come on this. So make sure you keep it to NFL Network, because we will have you covered with all of the developments that go on with the investigation and the team as well moving forward. So the Gruden news went down during the Ravens' furious comeback win over the Colts in overtime. There were so many things that were happening on Monday, but the game, it was so wild because Baltimore, and I'm going to say Baltimore, like Al Michaels says, it's on my radar, let me tell you. So Baltimore scored 22 unanswered points in that game. Lamar Jackson just put on an absolute show, landing at the head of the MVP conversation. He was so good. Ricky, no singular player is more important to their team right now.
Definitely not. I saw a graphic on Twitter that was trending that he has, you know, 1860 total yards in 2021, which is more than 18 teams. So it had his total yards, and then it had all the team logos graphics on the other. Like, it's absolutely insane. And he legitimately accounted for 499 yards of Baltimore's 523 net yards of the night. Like, Lamar Jackson single-handedly won this game for this team. This comeback was unreal.
The fact that he threw for 442 yards, three touchdowns, and then, yes, as you said, when you add in the rushing numbers, 504 yards of total offense, it was such a great night for him. And the fact that he set the Ravens single game passing record with those 442 yards, it was such a statement, I think, for him, because paging all of the people that have said Lamar Jackson can't win a game with his arm.
Can't throw.
That is it right there. The fact that he was able to put on that show. And I just feel really bad for Colts fans And we want to do a welfare check on noted Colts superfan, hilarious comedian. You can hear her on the Hysteria podcast. She also absolutely loves Rodrigo Blankenship. It is Megan Gailey. Megan, wanted to check on you just because I'm not sure if you're hysterical after what happened with the Colts. My God.
I really, and then I came on in a robe with wet hair, ranting and raving. I mean,
you're doing like, great.
Yeah, you would take one look at me and go, she is not well. I promised my husband I would shower today.
Okay.
And so I'm fresh from the shower. So I did it. But boy, wow. I mean, it was a brutal one. It was
the Colts had this game in the bag in the third quarter.
I knew they did it. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I what's really upsetting is I knew, sadly, that they were going to lose all day. But then the fashion in which they lost, I could not have predicted. And I feel so bad for Rod. And I know he's getting dragged, but it's not, I mean, I injured my hip walking too much at Disneyland, so I can't even imagine being in damn Baltimore, where I'm sure they're cursing things. You know, they hate us.
Yeah.
And who knows what they did to Rod and his hip. And I just feel so bad for him. I've just been on Twitter. I really have work to do, and I've just been on Twitter, and every Colts player, a Bible verse about overcoming adversity, or just, it's like, wow, I didn't know the Bible talks so much about being 1-4, but they're trying to get mentally, like, they're putting it out there. Irsay's weighing in, he's like, that's how it goes, and you're like, it is how it goes.
God, I woke up this morning and checked Twitter to find a half-written tweet about feeling bad for Jonathan Taylor, so it appears that I passed out mid-thought. I unfortunately didn't get to send any of those out, but this was Wentz's best game. Jonathan Taylor had a ton of really great plays. It was just Calais Campbell with the blocked field goal. When it really felt like things started to crumble.
Really, and Frank Reich, who I do love, I think I may be the only Colts fan left who loves him. he said that he got too conservative on that third and it was like third and six, third and eight. And you do wonder, knowing what they knew about Hot Rod being hurt, we gotta, you know, he's not gonna be able to kick for the game. Like, why is he even being put? You know, that field goal, go for it. Like, just get a first. You need to score touchdowns here, and just a lot of points left, unfortunately, off of his foot.
Ugh. Oh man, that was tough. And Megan, I was on an 11-hour flight from London, and I land, and our producer Aaron's texting me and Colleen, and he's like, I can't believe the Colts. I think they were up either 22.
19.
Yeah, they were up a ton, and I'm like, wow, like old Two Boots Wentz is gonna get it done. Like, this is great. And then I'm going back and I'm watching some of the, you know, the Darius Leonard picking it up and running it all the way back. I'm like watching the highlights and I'm like, wow, this Colts team is like really trying.
Good.
You know, Frank
Reich. They're good.
Frank Reich's sideline was really cool on the sidelines.
Loved it.
Gorgeous. It's my mom said it's raining confetti.
Yes.
And I was like, well, it, you know, it is representing all the different kinds of cancer. So confetti raining, fine. But no, I think everybody looked, I even thought the pregame when it was like, we're all the same, you know, because we obviously stole the team. But like, we're all in this together. I was like, this is cute. This is fun.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. So we wanted to just formally apologize to you.
Do I seem well?
No.
You seem like you're doing great. And I think that everything is going to be fine today. I don't know what you have planned, but maybe cancel everything and clear your calendar.
I'm currently watching a Lifetime film called Double Daddy.
Okay.
And it is washing over me like Vicks vapor rub. You know, it's soothing. It's soothing a part of me. And I have watched Jack Doyle push that man's head into the ground a few times, and that feels pretty good too.
Okay, that was so unfortunate. Oh my God. I was like, wait a second. No, Jack Doyle, you don't get away with that. And he did.
He did. He's a nice man too. He's a nice man. So.
Megan, it's so good to see you.
Feeling better.
Seriously.
Soon.
Thanks, gals. I'm going to go put real clothes. I'm actually not. I'm not going to put real. It's going to be a robe day for me. The shower is all I could do. But double daddy. Oh, that's what I call Frank Reich and Ballard. My double daddies.
Go treat yourself. Go make yourself some tea. Maybe fill it with alcohol. Whatever you need to do to get through today.
Thank you. You're good friends. You're good friends.
All right. We love you, Megan. There she goes. We wish her well on her journey today.
Yeah, I hope she's all right.
I know, truly.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What else is on your radar, Ricky?
Okay, so there's a lot of other stuff that we really care about. You know, a video emerged of two Eagles fans making sweet love in the bathroom in Carolina this week, which I
think
is...
Well, that's unfortunate.
You know, the Eagles had that big comeback. The defense came up with three interceptions. I think you tweeted out that you may have lost your voice. You were screaming. So,
I was screaming.
So seems like they were ready to celebrate this win in Carolina.
I felt this weird sensation while watching the comeback, like I was alive again a little bit. Like I was actually just feeling emotions overall in general. I'm still in shock that they won. They came back from the absolute dead. They kept hurting themselves every single way possible. It was penalties. There was a bad snap that led to a safety. There was a fumble. And then all of a sudden, things changed. Now, I had just gotten home from doing the post-game show for the London game, and I sat down, turned on all the TVs, and I was watching, and John literally left because the Eagles were so bad. He was watching and then just was like, I'm going to go run some errands and go grocery shopping in the third quarter. So I turn it on, I'm watching, and the deep shot to Quez Watkins in the third quarter on third down, it was beautiful. Then Hurts scored on a sneak right there. And all of a sudden, it was like things started really turning around. There was a blocked punt. So the special teams came up huge. As you said, the defense came up big all day long. Steven Nelson then had a massive interception. So it was really up to the offense to deliver. And they did. They found a run game at the end to ice the game. Although I almost lost my mind. I think maybe I lost my voice while I was screaming at Miles Sanders for running out of bounds. That is not your job at all.
Right?
Well, he came in, got a huge gain. I'm just going to call him Gaines from now on. Hashtag Gaines for Kenny Gainwell. He was great. He came up big. And then they did their thing. Jalen Hurts, he scored the touchdown and did the Cam Newton Superman.
Oh, my God.
In Carolina.
That was amazing. Total Chef's savage kiss. Move. Oh, my God. Right after the special teams blocked that punt that you said, and then they scored to get ahead, he, like, does the rip your shirt off, you know, for the Superman. The fact that Jalen Hurts did that in Carolina is savage. And the confidence is back for this Eagles team. Colleen is beaming right now just listening. She's like, yeah, this is the Eagles. Yes.
I hate this. Like, they make me feel all the time. And I want to just write them off and be like, I don't care. I will never care again about them. And then they reel me back in with
every
that
single
game.
Time.
And I'm leaving for Philadelphia in the morning for Thursday Night Football, which makes it so much better. Because if they had lost coming into this game after all of the other losses, and then they have Tom Brady and the Bucks coming in, that would just be a little bit of a flat crowd. I can feel it already. But now there's a little bit more juice. Even Michael Irvin texted me excited and happy that the Eagles won. I never thought that I would see the day that would happen. He's ready for it. I am just a little worried about my parents at the game is my only concern right now.
Okay. I mean, stroke of luck, too. You found those Eagles green leather pants that you sent a picture of. Are you going to wear that on TNF or just for the weekend in Philly?
It's possible I'm going to wear them on TNF. So keep a lookout for green leather pants. It's going to be a big week. I can't wait. I'm so excited to eat all of the food, all of the sandwiches, and watch the Eagles beat Tom Brady again.
Yeah, let's see if that happens. I'll be interested. Another story, Colleen, I wanted to tell you about is, as you know, I'm super plugged in to the Pittsburgh nightly news scene.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I like to track that and what's going on. And I just wanted you to hear.
Okay, so you watch Pittsburgh local news, but you don't listen to audio on movies on a plane. I just want to get this all straight.
Yep. Yeah, just normal quirks of Ricky Hollywood. Great. But Colleen, I came across this and I just wanted you to hear it.
Now, after the game, Heinz Field crews and first responders found themselves dealing with something rather unusual. Someone spread their relative's ashes partially in the stands and partially on the edge of the field. The Steelers say that they're aware that it happened. They do not condone it. And they're working with local authorities. In Pennsylvania, you are not allowed to spread ashes anywhere without the property owner's permission.
I mean, when I came across that, I mean, it was unbelievable. So I just wanted your reaction on that. Do you think that happened when, you know, Big Ben finally threw two deep passes that resulted in touchdowns? And like maybe they were planning it for after the game and they jumped up to cheer and maybe just spilled the ashes out? Or was it more deliberate than that?
That would be such a terrible accident. I know you have not watched White Lotus yet, but for anyone who has, Jennifer Coolidge, who is incredible in that show, she is carrying around her mom's ashes. She thinks she loses them at one point. She's a real hot mess with the ashes. And that's all I'm picturing is Jennifer Coolidge at the Steelers game, accidentally knocking her mom's ashes over. I would like to think that this was deliberate and they didn't know that they were breaking a law of any sort. I just want to know how somebody knew that that happened. Like, was it very obvious that someone was spreading the ashes of their loved one? It's, I guess, an odd place to do it, but we've seen it happen before, I guess, at sporting events.
Right? I mean, yeah, and maybe they weren't sure. You know, Big Ben has his bounce back game to avoid their 4-game losing streak, you know, the last three. Maybe they weren't sure when a win was going to happen again at Heinz Field. So they took, you know, control of the situation.
I do remember from Philly in the World Series, Tim McGraw scattered some of Tug's ashes on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah.
So I guess that's technically, well, he must have had permission. Otherwise, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's going to get you every time.
Every single time. All right, Colleen, I think you know what time it is.
What time is it?
Ooh, when those drums come in, it can only mean one thing. It's time for the split end of the week. Hit me with the saxophone.
Oh, that woke me right up.
Man,
that woke
Aaron,
me right back up.
Aaron, really, producer Aaron is crushing it with these drops.
Killing it.
Split end of the week is Kadarius Toney. What are you doing, my friend? So the Giants' first round wide receiver was playing the Cowboys, ejected in the fourth quarter for throwing a punch during the blowout loss. I get it. Division games are different. Emotions are high. There was a little bit of a tussle. But come on, Erica, he punched a helmet with his hand. Every time I see this, I don't understand it. What are you thinking that you get so hot that you are going to punch a helmet?
I mean, it is crazy. So I think the fact that he literally beat OBJ and he has the most receiving yards in a game by a rookie for Giants since like the 1950s, he was on such a high. Like, you're already doing so well in this game. Why are you, you know that's going to jeopardize you and you're going to get thrown out of the game. But yes, the split end of the week is actually like, is it cool to punch a helmet with a bare hand? You know, in hockey, they have gloves on. So then the helmets kind of come off and they've got gloves. But here's the thing. I've been angry before. And, you know, a bad day at work, your boss is kind of getting on you. And I think it's important to come home and specifically punch a helmet because it just shows how tough you really are. And I know you are very sensitive with your hands right now and like hands are a big issue with you and fingers. I think that it's super important to get your aggression out and hit harder objects than your hand. If I punch a pillow, that's lame. Right? So if I need to assert dominance, I need to hit something physical. So, you know, computer screens, you know, maybe hydro flask water bottles that are very, very tough. You know,
well,
I think
clearly on the other side of this argument, I think it's a terrible idea to punch anything that potentially could break your hand, especially if you're a football player and a wide receiver that needs those hands to catch balls.
Right, absolutely. And I'm just let me clear the air here. I'm talking about physically punching hard objects. I'm not talking about whether Kadarius Toney should have punched him in the head or not. Mm. That was stupid. He was already breaking records for the Giants. They already had injuries. Like, he needed to be in that game. Bad job by you.
So let us know, should you punch hard objects, specifically plastic?
Splitties, let us know.
All right, Erica, we got to get out of here. You need to catch up on your sleep. Maybe blow out those candles. Do not forget to do that. I got to go to Philly. We need self-care days and naps and everything else because there's a lot going on.
There's so much going on. You guys rate, review, subscribe. Make sure you leave us 5 stars. We're climbing the charts. Split Ends is taking over the league, you guys. And a welfare check on our listeners. Let us know how you are in an Apple Podcast review. I think that's how we communicate these days.
Love it, love it. Until next time, let's
split. Split.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.